can feel.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Alaska Airlines grounding its entire Boeing 737 MAX 9 fleet after an emergency landing in Portland.
We are emergency. We are depressurized. We do need to return back to. We have 177 passengers.
Bad audio from liveatc.net. Six crew members and 171 passengers on board flight 1282 when shortly after takeoff, a section of the fuselage ripped off the plane. That area apparently had a plug where a door could be installed. President Biden on the campaign trail Friday, taking on his presumptive challenger, saying former President Trump's campaign's all about Trump, not the future.
Whether democracy is still America's sacred cause is the most urgent question of our time. And it's what the 2024 election is all about.
Later in Iowa, Trump responding, he called Biden a threat to democracy. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear former President Trump's appeal of the state Supreme Court decision in Colorado, blocking him from the ballot there. This is ABC News. A major cross-country storm moved through the plains Friday, dropping 2 to 5 inches of snow from Kansas to Texas. Snow, ice, heavy rain moving into the northeast this weekend. New York City suburbs could get hammered. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says they are ready.
A little bit of mixed feelings. I remember snow days as a kid. You're not going to be missing a day of school, but you maybe have a little bit of sledding.
In North Carolina, parts of the state could see freezing rain, sleet, and even snow in the mountains. Concern about power outages. Keith Huff, Director of Field Operations in Winston-Salem.
We do have some equipment that we've got to stay on top of it to make sure it's functional come times like this.
15 states under winter storm alerts. The longtime head of the National Rifle Association, Wayne LaPierre, has resigned. This just days before the start of a civil corruption trial in which he's accused of using millions of NRA dollars to pay for luxury goods, personal trips, and private planes. He denies the accusations. Dave Packer, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Voting is not only good for democracy, one of the nation's biggest medical associations says it's also good for your health. Catherine Carley explains.
The American College of Physicians says voting empowers people to engage with their community, while ballot initiatives and elected officials determine just how well the healthcare system works. So ACP President Omar Atik says voters ultimately determine people's access to healthcare services and physicians' ability to treat them.
If there is more voter participation, there will be better healthcare policies and therefore better healthcare.
Atik says research shows states with fewer barriers to voting have better health outcomes than states with restrictive voting laws or gerrymandered maps. The ACP is encouraging all healthcare professionals and medical students to engage patients in nonpartisan healthcare-related conversations about voting as a way to increase health equity. Atik says even posting voter registration information in patient waiting rooms is a good place to start.
We are looking at talking to patients about the importance of their voice in making sure that the national resources are allocated to where we have optimal health for everyone.
Atik says despite being one of the richest and most technically advanced nations in the world, the U.S. ranks lowest in life expectancy for both men and women among comparable countries. He says physicians have a responsibility to help their patients when they need it, and talking about voting on issues that improve health care is part of that help. I'm Catherine Carley. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Come on along and join our party.
There's a party on your radio every Saturday morning between 7 and 9 a.m. on It's Polka Time with me, Craig Ebel. You'll hear the latest in polka releases, as well as your old favorites, too. So tune in every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to It's Polka Time, right here on 98Q Country.
Ma and Pa and Grandpa, too, for it's happy polka time.
It's Polka Time with Craig Ebel on WCQM is proudly sponsored by Jack's Corner Bar.
Busy
day for basketball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college hoops, the Badgers men's team hosts the Nebraska Cornhuskers at the Kohl Center in Madison. Tonight, it's the Bucks and the Rockets in Houston. The Bucks are back home Monday night against the Utah Jazz. College hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers with a 2-1 win last night at Notre Dame. The Badgers now with an 8-game winning streak. They're 17-4. Those two teams play again today. NFL, the Packers host the Bears. Quarterback Jordan Love named the NFC Player of the Week. I asked Love about the tradition of winning in Green Bay.
I think there's so much tradition here in Green Bay, and the main tradition is winning. And, you know, I think, obviously, like you said, there's been a lot of success in the past, but we try to focus on getting better every week, continue that winning tradition, and obviously getting into the playoffs is a huge tradition here as well. So, you know, I think that's what we're looking forward to more than anything is going out, finish the season off right, and getting a shot in the playoffs.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Mixed precipitation possible at times today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 31. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for snow. Tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 29. Monday, under overcast skies. 30 Tuesday, slight chance for snow. Taking a look at the extended forecast, 27 Wednesday, 22 Thursday, and 18 on Friday. About an inch of snow today. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
Ask and you shall receive. Last week we talked about barotrauma with Jeremy Smith from Angling Buzz as he responded to a video from Aaron Weeb and Uncut Angling. Well, you said put Aaron on this week's show. We did. Aaron's coming up here in a little bit. We'll also get a Lake of the Woods fishing report. I'm Brett Amundson. That's Dan Amundson right over there. Dan, how you doing?
Good. Let's be careful. You're not going to get everything you ask for. So I just want to throw that out there. If you ask for certain things, we might say no. But this is one we agree on. I just want to clarify.
I see where you're going with that.
Well, I just want to make sure that people don't think they can just ask for whatever they want and we can get them on the show.
Oh, I see.
We're not magic genies here, but Aaron was nice enough to come on our show, and I'm really looking forward to that conversation. For more barodrama.
Barodrama. Dun, dun, dun. That's David Eckhart right over there. David, are you ready for this week's show with all the barodrama stuff?
I guess. Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Oh. You're a guy who grows corn.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't watched any of the videos?
No. No, David.
And I was not on last week, so I have no idea what's going on.
Well, okay. All right. Well, just sit back and enjoy the show.
Just try to shoot a deer.
Is this what we pay you for?
Yes. Yeah. I can talk about deer hunting or fishing out of a boat.
Yeah. How wild is that? I want to ask you about that. It's January. Welcome to the new year. Happy New Year, everybody,
by
the
way. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
That was really loud.
That was very loud. We're going to talk about what this new year has been like so far for ice anglers out there, or what it hasn't been like so far, and talk fishing. We're going to talk about some new things that we've got coming for you from Fish On Forever. But first, Dan, who should we thank for this week's show?
Live Target. Match the hatch at livetargetlures.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the Walleye Capital. Plan a trip for this winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. We should update that so it's a snow bear. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. We are so close to the new season coming up in January, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Hey, one thing I want to address, too. We had last week we were talking about, you know, don't go ice fishing or be real careful, whatever. And then we ran a bunch of ads that said, hey, let's go ice fishing. We understand the situation there. So, of course, be very, very careful. We have some businesses that rely on ice fishing and tourism and fishing and things like that. And they're not going to put you in an unsafe position. But we want to promote ice fishing because because better ice is coming. We've had some colder weather. But we want you to be very careful and very safe and rely on some of the people that are out there every single day checking ice conditions. So if you're going to ice fish, please be very, very careful. Or just go in your boat.
Yep.
Like David did. How was fishing?
It was tough.
So maybe don't go in your boat.
We'd only fished the last couple hours of the day. If we'd have been out there all day, I think we'd have found more fish. But
I've used that excuse before.
Well, yeah. But there was, I felt like we were fishing the Rainy River in the spring. Like there was a pretty good ice flow. Ice chunks. The water, the surface temp was almost 31 degrees, 30.8, I think it was. And as soon as that sun went away, it was getting pretty slushy. But it was still fun. I got to say I fished in my boat January 1st.
Yeah, there you go. What, have you ever done that before?
No.
Yeah. I mean, even some of the lakes, people fishing out of their boats in some of the lakes around here, late December, early January, just kind of a crazy, crazy year. When you were out there then, so the only reason, the only thing I don't like about ice or open water fishing like this time of year is, you know, you can have things start to ice up a little bit. Did you have any problems with the boat or the motor or your guides or your line?
The rod tips were freezing and reels were getting pretty crunchy when you'd cast. But like I said, we were only out there for a couple hours.
What kind of line were you using?
Just my regular summer rod setup.
So braid, mono?
Just mono.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was going to say, because we fished with Tim Dumel on the Pool 4 in February last year. And he normally likes to fish braid, and he's like, hey, in this time of year when the water's going to be freezing, I go away from braid because braid will soak up that water. So that's a tip for cold weather anglers to stay away from summer braid and go to mono. And there are some different things to do with your motor. David, I'm sure you probably did this, but, you know, train it.
I had my
maybe you did. Surface drive. Oh, you had a surface drive. That's right. So I guess with regular outboards, you know, make sure you drop the motor after you pull it out to drain all the water. Some guys will fire it up real quick at the access to kick all that water out of your hoses and everything, just to make sure there's nothing inside freezing. There's precautions to take there, but there are open water fishing opportunities year round in Minnesota. It's fun.
So next time you're fishing out of your boat on January 1st, use these handy tips. I remember duck hunting one year, I was with Tony Crotty, and we dumped the boat in and it has surface drive. And as we were kind of loading up the boat at the access there for a while, the waves, I mean, it was windy and it was cold. The waves were kind of pushing up into it and the water got on the outside of the boat and we couldn't pull the pin out for the motor position. Oh. It froze in. So we couldn't even drop. I mean, like, we couldn't even move the motor. Yeah. So we did not duck hunt that day.
That's another thing with wind and ice and stuff. If you have a bunk trailer and you normally disconnect your boat, maybe, you know, before you back it in, maybe don't do that because your bunks might be a little slick and your boat could slide right off or fun stuff like that. And bring sand for the landing. Mm-hmm. You know, try to drain all the water off your trailer and boat as you're pulling it out into the river. Otherwise, if you don't drain it and you drive up, all that water is going to drain out on the access and make it real slick for the next guy. But it also helps to have some sand. I've been in situations in March where I've launched the boat and it's been fine. And then it snows and there's just a slick layer of snow and I could not get the boat out of the off the ramp and with that layer of snow until we got sand on there. And it's a really uneasy feeling when you're driving forward and all of a sudden you stop and you start going backwards toward a rushing river in your truck.
There was one other boat that pulled out ahead of us, and I definitely, stepping over the tongue of the trailer, I definitely fell on the
fell down.
Just fell in the water, but yeah, it was a little icy right next to the water.
Yeah, so little things if you're going to do that. But do you think the Beltrami County Red Lake vehicle restriction applies to boats? If you wanted to bring a boat up there?
Well, you know, that was a great question. I wanted to bring that up because I guess it happened 20 years ago somewhere, maybe there. I don't know.
Wasn't it Lake Chetek?
That's right. Ice conditions were bad, so the sheriff's department restricted vehicle access. But you brought up a good point when Red Lake did this because our buddy Corey Loeffler was just up there with an Argo. And, you know, an Argo is a little bit of a safer motorized vehicle. Yeah. So would that motorized vehicle restriction apply to a vehicle like an Argo?
That's a water vehicle? I don't know. That is a good question, actually, because if I remember correctly, the resort they went out of wasn't letting ATVs or vehicles at all out, and they made an exception because it was an Argo that
floats.
That's, I'm pretty sure I remember that. Again, Corey, yell at me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what happened. But I would guess, just to make it easy and have no gray areas, it's just a vehicle with wheels you ain't going. Man, maybe a Sherp. I don't know. Because then you got Sherps up there, too.
Wheelcrafts.
I want one of those. Yeah. Wheelcraft, yeah.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Stick to your two legs, maybe. I don't know. Definitely no airplanes. I think airplanes are off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, please be safe on the ice, of course. What a weird year this year, seeing a vehicle restriction by the Sheriff's Department on a lake. That's such a wild, wild thing to happen, and not something that I expected. Not something that I'd seen before, well, even if it did happen before.
It almost was expected because, well, and not really, but it's like, what do you and I, you say it a lot, Brett. If we don't take some responsibility for ourselves, the government's going to come in and place restrictions. We've talked about
it. Happened.
We've talked about it with littering. We've talked about it with fish limits, blah, blah, blah. Here's a perfect example of it. Humans couldn't help themselves. They kept putting themselves at risk and needing help. And finally, the government said, we've had enough. We're going to restrict this. And it's a perfect example of, if we can't take responsibility for our own actions before the government's going to swoop in and place rules. And that honestly is the root of a lot of our conversations lately.
You know, maybe and if people didn't like that, maybe people are saying, hey, we don't, like, I'm comfortable. I had safe ice out here. Don't restrict me. This America. Maybe it's something different where it's like, okay, here's the rule. We're not going to restrict you, but we're not going
to
rescue you.
We're not coming to help you.
Yeah. This day, and from this time until we determine things are better, you're on your own. And there is more personal responsibility in that. Now, we don't want to see anybody have issues on the ice, of course. But maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's the
other. We're spitballing here.
Yeah, and then if you do that and you don't rescue them, then people get mad at you for not rescuing them.
You can't win. You can't win.
I wonder if they would allow dog sleds.
Well, not if you're Bear Grease.
Yeah, cancel the Bear Grease this year, which must be no snow. I don't know what it's like up north, but I'm guessing not a whole lot of snow up there. Bad news.
Alex Trebek says no.
Speaking of Corey Loeffler, by the way, we've got a new video on the Fish on Forever channel. Grab the Kleenex, because this one will hit you right in the feels. You know from the beginning that they're not going to be with us forever. But that doesn't make it any easier. One of the best parts of hunting is watching the dog work. When it all goes to hell, will you still be my friend? One of the worst parts of hunting,
come on,
is watching that dog get old. And this dog right here, she's been my life. If you can't come with me, I'll understand. I'll understand. So it's been tough to go out and get a new dog, but it's time. Can we meet in the dark? We don't have to say much. And if you have to go, have to go. Isn't always easy, it's always worth it. Raising a gun dog. I don't know times I've watched that, and it gets me every time. Like, trying to make that video even, it was painful. So that's a little promo for the new series. The first episode featuring Corey Loeffler's Boone is available now at the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. We also have a new video on this channel right here, the Sporting Journal Radio YouTube channel, the North American Waterfowl Podcast. We talked to Bruce Davis, who's a waterfowl biologist with the Minnesota DNR. He has been banding mallards and putting backpacks, GPS transmitters on them. And we interviewed him about that program to learn what mallards are doing. When are they migrating? How far are they migrating? What time of day are they going out to feed? What type of fields are they feeding in? What has he learned from this research? Find out more at sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts, or watch it right here on this channel that you're watching right now. And thank you for watching it. Comment below, because everybody who comments, oh, we got to draw a winner from last week's.
Oh, shoot.
We're supposed to announce that on this week's show. We'll put it in the comments. We'll draw and put it in the comments here.
And we'll announce it on social. So we'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, the whole shebang.
Everybody who comments on our video, we'll put you in a drawing for free merch from the Sporting Journal Radio store. Find out more at sportingjournalradio.com.
Yeah!
We're going to talk about conditions up at Lake of the Woods with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. And then we got a great, great interview coming up. Aaron Weeb from Uncut Angling. We're glad he's joining us this week to talk about barotrauma, the research, the video that he's done, and also the research and stuff that's been put out by the DNR and Angling Buzz. All that on the way. You don't want to miss this. Stay there.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, welcome back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson, along with Dan Amundson and David Urquhart. Now we're going to talk to Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism to talk about fishing up at Lake of the Woods. Joe, it's been a weird year this year for ice fishing.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, our winter has certainly been unseasonable, to say the least, and it's just been really weird, you know, and it's been weird across much of the country, certainly weird in Minnesota, and certainly it's not a normal winter up at Lake of the Woods either. You know, from where we normally would be the first part of January, obviously we're very far off because of this year's climate, and you know what, we're just kind of rolling with the punches, trying to obviously keep everybody safe and really leaning on the resorts and outfitters, Brett, to, you know, assess the ice in their area, make sure that their ice trails are good to go, And it's also preventing us from going on certain parts of the lake that we might be fishing now. We're staying in parts that we know that have better ice.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. These guys are out there every day checking the conditions where they're fishing. and making sure it's safe to go there.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's ice fishing, and you know, I guess obviously it's safety first, and obviously it's a weird year. You know, I think really it's one of those things too where people really have to, you know, it's a personal choice, right, to go ice fishing. And you know, there's risk when I walk outside my door, and there's risk when I get into my automobile, and there's risk when I get on a snowmobile or four-wheeler or whatever I do, get into a boat. And you know, there's risk with ice fishing too. And of course, you know, we obviously, our resorts and our outfitters do everything they can. I mean, most of these are family businesses. They have their family members working the ice and making sure it's safe. And you know, if you take a look at the tens of thousands of people that enjoy ice fishing, not only Lake of the Woods, but also just in the ice belt, you know, it's a relatively, I guess, safe sport. Unfortunately, you know, especially with the winter we've had this year, there is things that can happen. And obviously we just want to be cognizant of everybody. You know, some people just don't feel safe going out, but there's other people that do feel just fine going out, and they feel comfortable going out, especially on other people's ice transportation that are monitoring trails on a daily basis. Again, it's personal choice. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, 100%. We like having personal choice, of course, in America. We appreciate having that. And some of those resorts, you know, if they've seen ice that's not great, they've pulled people out, right? I mean, they're not out there just pushing things every day.
We know it's hard. Sometimes, you know, you'll see, you get on social media in today's world, and there's a lot of experts out there, so-called experts. And, you know, right away, hey, listen, you know, the people will put anybody in the ice. All they want to do is make money. It's about greed, you know, and that is so far from the truth. These are hardworking human beings who have done this for years and years. They got their family life, their lives, their family lives, their guest lives. They have their reputation, their character, everything else. And they take it seriously. So yes, they have shut down ice fishing when they don't think conditions are good. And that's after they've been ice fishing. So they've been out there ice fishing. When we had some weather patterns come through that were pretty warm, they actually stopped all their ice fishing for a while until it froze really hard again. And then they got people back out, of course, after they checked the ice again. But, you know, so they do adapt. And that's one of the reasons I think you work through an outfitter is, you trust their judgment, you trust their track record. And it's about keeping everybody safe and still having fun. I mean, it's just a weird winter, put it that way. The bottom line is, you know, people are trying to be safe and at the same time, get you on some fish.
Yeah, safety first, fish second. Well, I'm looking forward to get back up there, of course. It's Lake of the Woods. People make it a point to go there, if not once, many times throughout the year, particularly in the winter. Of course, it's a destination for many anglers. I think we got a trip maybe coming up in February up there that we're working out right now. So we're looking forward to that. And Joe, if people want, oh yeah, look at those temperatures, below zero.
Ice.
Below zero, single digits. I mean, that's all good stuff. And the other thing I'll mention too is that if people, you know, if they want to schedule a trip up there, if they had to cancel a trip anywhere and want to get up to Lake of the Woods, the other thing, don't forget about March. I mean, if we get the kind of weather that we normally will get, you know, there can be some nice opportunities in March too. You know, we can keep our fish houses, because we're border water with Canada and it's colder, we can keep our fish houses out through the month of March. And the walleye and sauger season's open through April 14th. So it's really an extended season, which gives some more opportunities as well.
Yeah, well, where should they find more information about booking a trip up there, Joe?
You know, our website is really our hub, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Thanks a lot, Joe. We got Aaron Weeb coming up when we come back.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Looking for winter adventure?
Might as well pick a place with over 1,000 lakes. Otter Tail County, Minnesota is in the middle of everywhere, offers a simpler pace, and has something for everyone. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Ross's Sports Shop and Guide Service has everything you need for a full day of fishing. From their selection of live bait to many different types of tackle, like the popular Custom X Toads and more. Ross's also has a selection of great hunting supplies, too. And you can get all of your licensing done there, too. And ask about their expert guide service. Their goal is to guide you into a successful angler. Like them on Facebook and check out all their available specials. Ross's Sports Shop and Guide Service, 286 North Lake Avenue, Phillips. Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP. Next to McDonald's. This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Mixed precipitation possible at times today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 31. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for snow. Tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 29. Monday, under overcast skies. 30 Tuesday, slight chance for snow. Taking a look at the extended forecast, 27 Wednesday, 22 Thursday, and 18 on Friday. About an inch of snow today. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. If you have a comment, please leave it below. Everybody that comments on these videos will be entered to win some Sporting Journal Radio gear, Fish On Forever gear, whatever you might see in the Sporting Journal Radio store available at sportingjournalradio.com. We're excited. We got a great show for you this week. And we're looking forward to bringing this guest on. Aaron Weeb from Uncut Angling joins us right now. Aaron, first of all, how you doing, man? We're glad you're back. We're glad to see you on YouTube. We're glad that you're here. Thanks for coming on the show, man. We appreciate it.
Happy to be on here. Thanks for taking me on short notice and stuff. This is pretty cool. And I think it just shows that we are all here on the same page, basically, to want to get together on this timeline to talk about it.
Yeah, barotrauma and the advancements in technology, obviously two very important topics that we want to discuss. Obviously, you wanted to share your concerns about those topics and what's being done about those things in your recent video that you put out. And obviously, we had a couple concerns about a few of the things that you put in there. And it wasn't, you know, like I said to you before, it wasn't like a personal attack on you or anything. It's obviously important things that I think we need to discuss. And I think we're all looking for the same thing out there. And that's education about these topics. So Let's just go back just a little bit. You're sitting down, you're watching YouTube, you see this Uncut Angling video with the DNR on the study.
Angling buzz.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
You said Uncut
Angling. Oh, yeah, sorry. Angling. There's a lot of angling going on. You see Angling Buzz with this study about barotrauma at the Minnesota DNR. What goes through your head as you're watching this?
Well, actually, I was doing some research on some other barotrauma studies at the time, ironically, and I had mentioned some frustrations about them. Some study down in Manitoba to a few different people. And someone mentioned, have I seen this barotrauma study? And I said, no, I haven't, but definitely send it to me because I'm always interested in hearing about this kind of stuff. And also because these topics they're hot topics, obviously, as is evident by us having to sit down and have a follow-up conversation about past videos. It's not a common thing that usually gets done in the fishing media world. So anytime that the topic gets touched, I'm very interested on how people are going to try and approach it, because myself, over the years, I have not known how to necessarily touch this topic, because you don't want to be the one that puts endpoints on the topic, whether that's like specifics on depths or anything. Kind of like when people are talking about water being too hot for muskie, then it's like, okay, well, where is that exact number that's too much, right? I think people usually use around 80 degrees, but then it's like, you know, what if you had a trip planned that day, someone in from out of town, and all of a sudden the water jumped up to 81? What are you supposed to do? Cancel your whole trip? Like, where is that exact threshold? And then people will justify it and say, well, we'll just be really quick and skip pictures or whatever we need to do to make it doable in that scenario. So I guess that's why I haven't touched the topic too much, and why I'm very interested when someone else touches it. And when I saw the Angling Buzz video that was like 3 or 4 years ago, that they did, I remember like leaning in to see, okay, what are you guys gonna say about this? Because I think the title was something about deep water crappies. And when Jeremy and James got into it, and Jeremy basically just said, catch your limit and go home, I was like, yes, that's so awesome. Like, that's just, it's so obvious. And it made me mad that I hadn't thought of that, because it simplifies it to the point where we don't even need to debate the unknowns or what the mortality might be. We can just say it's a dangerous activity, avoid it at all costs. And just like that, you put a bow on the topic and you don't need to really dig into it too much more. So I really like that. I remember at the time thinking I should send them a message. I don't know if I ever did. I actually, as soon as this came up, I was trying to see in my past emails and stuff if I had ever reached out to them about that, because I was so impressed with how they had done that messaging. And that's why I wanted to make sure that I led off with that in my video, to kind of include that. And it actually was, you know, if I established those 5 steps for handling a deep water fishing scenario, and I led with number one being repeating exactly what they had said. So if at any point you don't get through those 5 steps, they are in order of importance. And the first one is exactly what they said, avoid it because there's so much we don't know about it, or just keep your limit and go home. And then the second one is rush the fish back in the water, which is kind of like an all-encompassing thing for fishing practices in general. But the importance of it gets higher and higher when there's stresses involved, like barotrauma in this situation. And I guess that's one frustration that I've had when hearing you guys break down my video or hear other people's comments on it, is it seems like they're glossing over those first 2 steps, which I lay out as being so important. And when the first step of 5 is to avoid it, I think I'm sending a pretty clear message there. And then the second step is hurry the fish back in the water, reduce fish handling. So that's before you even get to 3, 4, and 5. And that's where people are hung up on exactly what that, you know, some of the little steps I was doing in releasing the fish. And then where people really had a hang up was, well, how do you know what happened to those fish after 24 to 48 hours? And I don't know why I'm suddenly being tasked with attacking that topic, because my feeling on the Angling Buzz video is that the fish kind of got mishandled and didn't even make it to the possibility of surviving. So that's where, that was the whole point of my video, was rush the fish back in the water. At least it has a chance. And led with avoid deep water fishing. So anyways, that's kind of like an outline of how I saw the video, because I didn't happen to notice it, but someone sent it to me because they know I'm always interested for a good barotrauma discussion.
Which is awesome, because I think that's such an important thing to educate people on. I know a lot of anglers that just don't even know what barotrauma is, and maybe they just don't fish deep very often or whatever the case may be, but there's a lot of people that just don't know what it is. So I love any discussion I see about it. I try to watch or read or whatever and pay attention to learn a little bit more about it. And honestly, I think that's where our concern was with, and I thought it was great that you said don't fish deep water is number one, because that is important. But we had a lot of people that really liked your video that commented us or sent us messages, and some of them were nice, and some of them were not. But a few of them basically said, well, we just watched them release 12 crappies safely and they're just fine. And I think that was, unfortunately, the takeaway that some people had, which is where we had the, and this is not directed at you, but it doesn't matter how many times sometimes you tell people don't do this, and then you do it, and then they see it, oh, those fish are fine, and then that's what they take away from it. So that was where we were coming from, I think, when we talked about not fishing deep water and then fishing the deep water in that video. And then I know, and this is my fault, but I know when I watched it at first, I got a little defensive right away just because I'm jacked about this study. Now, there's no question that some things can be refined and some things can be done differently. I was pretty excited about what they were going to learn from it. And obviously, it's going to be an ongoing study. So, you know, education needs to happen. And the fish were out of the water for a little bit, but without some of those controls to determine, you know, to try to find a way to track fish, it's hard to get scientific results or the type of research that you need so you can track those fish as far as, you know, clipping fins and things like that. Obviously, you're going to reduce the fish's ability to survive potentially by keeping them out of the water that long or taking a small clip off the fin. But I've talked to a few biologists since then to learn a little bit more about, well, what was the deal with the fin clips? Why were they doing it? Why on the tail fin? And it was described to me that really all the fins kind of work together, so a little clip off the tail fin may not be as detrimental as it seemed like it could be. And then they used that tail fin. It sounds like they used the tail fin. They either clip a little bit off the top or clip a little bit off the bottom to determine what, you know, if that fish was caught in the shallower part of the study or the deeper part of the study. So it was a way to track those fish. And honestly, what you did with the live scope, I thought was brilliant. Using it as a conservation tool so that it's, because I agree, the live scope and forward-facing sonar are not the enemy. I'm 100% in agreement with you on there. And I thought it was great that you watched them follow them down. The issue, as you know, is how do you track them after that? And how do you determine delayed mortality or survival of that fish after it disappears from live scope or goes back into a big school of fish? You know, the research obviously isn't perfect. And I think a lot of people commented that your video will probably help them determine methods in the future. And I think it will as well. But like as far as tracking those fish beyond what you can see on the live scope, you know, are there any other ideas that you might have on how to determine any sort of delayed mortality on those fish?
I mean, yeah, they could just descend them in that net pen instead of letting them struggle on the surface. Mm.
Help them down a little bit.
Well, use a descending tool. Yeah. You know, the whole idea that I was demonstrating is that the fish is releasable. That doesn't mean it's going to live, but it's releasable.
Our guest is Aaron Weeb from Uncut Angling. More with Aaron when we come back.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTEC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTEC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
852 million acres of public land. 147 million private properties.
All in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt.
The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Join us at Jack's Corner Bar on Cedar Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin for an unforgettable January birthday bash. Come celebrate Vanessa and Brittany's special day with a complimentary specialty drink personally chosen by the birthday girls for all January birthdays. The festivities kick off at 8 p.m. on January 12th, featuring the amazing live music of the Old Pine Road Band. Don't miss this chance to make memories and revel in the joyous atmosphere. Let's make Friday, January 12th, a night to remember at Jack's Corner Bar on Cedar Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin.
Fleet Farm has everything you need for happy backyard birds. And we mean everything. Like over 100 different types of wild bird foods and bird feeders. This week, get a 25-pound bag of black oil sunflower wild bird food for just $13.99. Plus, join us Saturday, January 13th at 9 a.m. to build and decorate a free birdhouse with your kids. Create family memories and find what you need for everyday life at Fleet Farm.
Visit Ken's Carpet Center in Phillips, Wisconsin, and get your best night's sleep on a spring air mattress set. Queen and full sizes on display with twin and king available. Plus, Ken will deliver no charge within 40 miles of Phillips. At Ken's, you're going to find several types of flooring and carpeting by Mohawk with installation right from the store. Also, shop a variety of consignment furniture and other unique items on display. Open 9 a.m. Monday through Saturday, Ken's Carpet Center is your K&B appliance outlet also. Stop in today or call Ken's Carpet at 715-339-4838 for measurements and installation. Ken's Carpet, right on Highway 13 in Phillips, Wisconsin.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Mixed precipitation possible at times today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 31. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for snow. Tonight, lows dip down to about 21. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 28. Cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 29. Monday, under overcast skies. 30 Tuesday, slight chance for snow. Taking a look at the extended forecast, 27 Wednesday, 22 Thursday, and 18 on Friday. About an inch of snow today. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Aaron Weeb from Uncut Angling is our guest. The demonstration with the fish tank, the aquarium, I thought was brilliant. I thought that was really smart. I thought it was a really good video overall. I hope I didn't come across as saying it wasn't, because I think it was. Obviously, I've addressed my concerns with it, but I thought it was well done on a really important topic. And also for anglers' rights, I do want to stress that trying to protect our rights as anglers, I think, is important. That's what we're trying to do here all the time, so I think that was great. Anything else you want to address with the barotrauma topic or anything like that?
I have a couple other topics within the topic, definitely. And I want to say that I definitely felt love from you guys when you did the podcast. Like, I could tell you guys had mixed feelings on it. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that the community is sure that barotrauma is a big issue. So if I'm taking the emphasis off that and making it seem like it's not a big issue, then that in itself becomes an issue, right? Is kind of where you guys were like, well, wait a minute, no, don't make it seem like this is all cool and happy. And I feel the same way as you guys about that, so I understand where you are coming from in terms of being a little sensitive on anything that would, am I right to say that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you bet.
And I think, yeah, we're definitely all on the same page with that. And I guess for me, though, is if it's not 100% and it's actually only 10 to 20%, I want to figure that out the same way you guys want to figure that out. And I, at this point, have no reason to think that it is 80 to 100%. I feel like there's unknowns with it, and a fish could very unpredictably die from barotrauma. But I feel like that applies to a lot of different things that we do in fishing, with, like, depending where the hook placement is. And I hinted at warm water earlier. But, like, any major stressor that a fish goes through increases the unknowns. And then for us to just say, that it's delayed mortality, I think that's a little bit of a cop-out, because like if a deer runs back into the bush after being shot and it lives for another half day, that's not delayed mortality. That's just the gunshot wound. So if we know that barotrauma increases the stress on the fish and then we are still doing the same amount of handling, well, that handling is the gunshot and it's dying later. I mean, or maybe you're going to say the barotrauma is the gunshot, but yeah, we know better a lot of ways to get it back down there. And if there's things to do to help that fish get back quicker if it's stressed, whether it's coming out of 20 feet or 40 feet, we need to do that. And I think you guys hinted on that when you were talking about descending devices, is at least if you get it back down there, it has a chance, which is exactly the same thing as hurrying it back into the water. At least if you hurry it back into the water, regardless of what the angling scenario is, it has a better chance. Even if it's, you know, a totally unstressed situation, like if we're dealing with ice cold water and a lip hooked fish, I think we pretty much feel like that fish has 100% survival rate, maybe 99% survival rate. So we need to be able to analyze what those extra stressors are and make responsible decisions. And if at the end of the day, the responsible decision is just to keep the fish, even if it's a trophy fish, I feel a better decision.
Yeah, the responsible decision, that's a big key. And I think education, coming out of this, more education, the better, and hold people personally accountable. You know, I think people are losing that responsibility factor. Like, hey, you can be, just because the limits are one thing doesn't mean you have to go out there and catch a limit every time. You know, have some ethics, have some responsibility, and take care of the fish, get them back in the water, handle them properly. Things like that are pretty important. David, you spent some time in South Dakota. Did you know, I got a message and I didn't know about this, but on parts of the Missouri River, they had the first four walleyes you catch, you had to keep. They had that regulation. I don't know for how long, but apparently it changed this year and now it's back to whatever normal
regular rules
are. But they actually did change something like that because most of the people were fishing walleye deep. So they made it a mandate that you had to keep the first four or whatever it is that you catch. So I think we're all in agreement that we don't want to see those types of restrictions take place, which is why more research needs to happen. And, unfortunately, keeping those fish out of the water so you can get some of the data on those fish lengths and fin clips, that definitely could impair the fish more. But I think you need to establish some sort of baseline there. I don't know. Those guys will know better than I will on this stuff. And you know, for that matter, you've probably been more involved in it than I have. But I think for, you know, like we've talked about, there has to be some consistency to establish the right data when it comes to science and all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they come up with and what you come up with in the future. Other than that, away from the barotrauma talk, what else
no,
you got?
No, not away from that.
Oh, he's got more. All right.
I think it was like the clipping of, I don't want anyone thinking I'm getting hyper-focused on like specific things like the clipping of the fin or different things like that, because those are all just things that don't help at all. Like nobody's going to argue that that helps the fish swim better, but there's a chance it might hurt it a little bit. And ultimately, I think it was pretty clear that it was the net, the narrowness of the net that was the thing restricting them from swimming away. I don't think that they really handled them too much aside from that. You know, I itemized all the things that could have been done faster. But I agree with you. There are like some necessary steps that they need to do when they're doing their study. It all just adds up to fish handling. And I would consider the net that was being restrictive to be fish handling also. So when I say that it was excessive fish handling, it's not necessarily processes with the measuring and stuff like that, although that all adds to it. It was just all of it combined, including the netting, the accumulation of all that. One other thing I wanted to mention is the thought process behind this has always been that the crappies can only swim 5 or 10 feet down and then immediately come up under the ice. So that is why I was demonstrating specifically that, no, look, they can swim all the way back down to the bottom. Doesn't mean that they're going to live. And I personally have never seen the carpet under the ice, but I heard you guys reference it, and I just wanted to add this perspective. It was mentioned that you see it when the ice is clear around fish houses, right?
Yeah, people have said that. Yeah.
So, and this is in keeping also with the regulation that you just mentioned. I think keeping the first four would be a little extreme, but ruling out culling is just such an obvious regulation that I have no idea why it hasn't been done yet. And that's one of the things that frustrates me, is we're doing studies and looking for things we can improve on when there is a bunch of regulation things, and I could go through them with anyone's department or branches. There's a bunch of things that can be changed right off the bat, like something like culling, that is just so obvious And it's ridiculous that it isn't done already. And I guarantee that most of the situations that you're referencing with fish under the ice around a fish house is people that are sitting there culling those crappies all day long. And those fish that are underneath the ice are culled fish. They're not just released fish.
Yeah, well, I think you see culling a lot more in the summer maybe than in the winter. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of culling fish either. I will agree with you there.
It's legal in Minnesota, but, yeah, South Dakota it's not. North Dakota I don't believe it is. But I know it is in Minnesota, and people have mixed feelings about it. And,
yeah,
you know, you talk to it. It's a whole other discussion when you talk to a tournament angler. But,
right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's I'm sure you're. I've never fished with people that have done it, but I wouldn't surprise me one bit if there's people with a 5 gallon bucket in an ice castle sitting there sorting out till they go home with all their 13-inch crappies or something. Yeah. Wouldn't shock me one bit.
Absolutely, if you're just sitting in an ice castle all day and enjoying your thing, like I would, if it was legal and I wasn't thinking that I was hurting the fish, I would be sorting those crappies all day too. If nobody had explained to me that those crappies have a worse survival percentage, I would absolutely want to bring home the absolute biggest I could.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that should not, that could be a rule change I get behind. No culling. I don't, and even culling in the summer, I'm not really a big fan of.
No, so. It honestly might be even more detrimental in the summer because you're dealing with way warmer water, right? Yeah. And I think that could be something agreed on, and I don't know.
Can you imagine if it was like crappies in the middle of summer out of 35 feet of water? So now you've got hot water and crappies. Just that, yeah, they'd have no chance. It's like a huge huge benefit they have to all these ice fishing discussions is how durable the fish are with the water being so ice cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is what I like about these discussions and how this has opened up, because we can sit here and hash things out as anglers and those in the field before people in St. Paul or Ottawa or other capital buildings are making our decisions for us. And I'm pretty appreciative of that, and glad we can have these open discussions, whether we sometimes disagree with each other or not, but we can sit down and work things out and try to find pieces of our fishing to try to make better.
I think it's important. I think it's important sometimes to disagree within the community. I know there sometimes there's the messaging out there, don't argue with each other. We're all anglers. We're all hunters. We're all on the same team. And it's like, yeah, but if we don't think that some players on our team are doing things the right way, it's not like we, let's try to find the better solution before. Oh, my camera froze up. Let's try to find the better solution before the government imposes those mandates on us. It's a bit of a self-policing. So I think that's I think it's important to have discussions like this so that we find the right solution before it's found for us.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely think we're all on the same page. And at no point did I think that Jeremy wanted to ban forward-facing sonar or that Jeremy doesn't know better about all of these topics. It was just, I think, kind of like too many people involved in a way at a certain point, and kind of everyone just feeling like, they're not the ones that are actually watching it too closely or managing everything. And even when the final video got done, Jeremy probably was aware of the net thing, obviously, and I think the Minnesota DNR was too, but it's not like either of them was at the last minute in production and be like, hey, let's add a little bit casting doubt on this whole video or whatever. It was just like, a lot of different moving pieces, and nobody really put their foot down to maybe stop the video from going out or add an extra scene to the video. But I know these people are all smart people and well-intentioned people. It just didn't go out exactly how it could go out.
All right, for you radio listeners, we got to cut this off. We've come to the end of the show, but we're going to continue our conversation with Aaron Weeb on the Sporting Journal Radio Podcast. Get it wherever you get your favorite podcasts or watch the video on YouTube. Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.